You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
I can get this joke, but what did Jim Ross say to Sid Vicious? We're live, pal. That's right. Welcome to the next live episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Again, Banker Bill with your guy, Bully Rye, doesn't get that joke because it's a wrestling joke.
Yeah, no, no.
If PJ Steve was in here, he would totally get it. There was so what you don't know about wrestling is that every now and then they'll cut promos. They'll go on TV live and you know, they'll have to cut promos and you know, talk good about themselves. A lot of the times they pre-tape those things. And there was a guy, he went by a few different names, Psycho Sid, Sid Vicious. But he was on live TV cutting a promo, and he was like, oh, let's go again. And Jim Ross looks at him right in the face and says, hey, we're live, pal. And so if you ever hear me say that joke again, that's what it is. Bill, what's going on, bud?
I get the explanation, I think, but that still means very little to me. Unfortunately.
Well, it means a lot to me because it was a real funny time.
I'm happy for you. Hey, we're live, pal.
There you did. There it is. All right. If you're watching the show live, it is live on Facebook. I was afraid. I got a notification from StreamYard, who hosts our podcast. They were having issue getting us on Facebook, but it doesn't seem like that's an issue. So if you're facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, twitter.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns @tapoutsandtds on Twitter, and then the YouTube channel @tapoutsandtouchdowns. Wherever you're watching, make sure you leave comments in the thread so that we can read them live on the air. Bill, what's going on, man? A lot of football took place last weekend.
A lot to get into. A lot of football. Too much football for me this weekend, I think, maybe. No, actually, the Gators didn't play, so that was a those are bye weeks, so I didn't get anything on Saturday that I really I mean, I watched football, obviously, but I didn't care as much about some of the games. You know, we obviously were at the game prior to that the week before, and Sunday was a fun day of waiting for the Dolphins game to start, and that was not a good game for me. It wasn't.
We have a lot to talk about when it comes to pro football this week. A lot of fantasy football talk today, tonight on the show. We had a lot of questions about starts and sits, and we actually have a discussion about targets to trade for heading into week 8 of fantasy football, as well as next week we're going to actually do a little more of a deep dive into guys that you're going to want to trade for at the trade deadline in fantasy football. But before we get into all the NFL talk, let's talk a little bit from college football this past week in week 8. A couple notable games that took place over the weekend. Let's start off in the SEC, where Alabama trailed 20-7 at halftime against Tennessee in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And scores, 27 unanswered points, shuts out Tennessee in the second half to win this game 34-20, the largest deficit since the 2018 national championship game. Bill, I guess the question I should ask is, I think Tennessee's basically, we can write off Tennessee. They're not a playoff threat. They're not a threat for the SEC East. Alabama's lost one game this year. Are they a viable threat to come back and potentially backdoor their way into the Final Four and make the playoffs this year?
Well, are they a threat?
I mean, currently they're number 11 in the country.
Record-wise, yes. Record-wise, there's going to be one team that comes out of the SEC. Are they? Yes. Because here's what would happen. They would have to win out. And winning out means beating Georgia, likely
in
Georgia.
SEC championship game.
In the SEC championship game. If they do that, they're going to the college football national championship. They're going. That's happening. A one-loss Alabama team gets into that tournament.
So I guess I should ask that. And then if Alabama runs the table and beats Georgia, does Georgia so we'll get Georgia and Alabama.
Yep.
Ooh, you know how many people would be so mad about that, considering how well the Pac-12 has looked this year, and if Alabama runs the table and makes it Alabama and Georgia in the Final Four.
Wouldn't matter. Georgia's in because they're going to run the table all the way to the SEC title game. They're not going to lose. Carson Beck's playing football now. They're not going to lose.
They got a tough game this weekend.
They're not going to lose. Are we picking that game? Because I already told you I'm picking. They're not. Yeah,
we're not picking that game.
What we should see what the spread is on that game, but they're not going to lose. They're playing Florida this week. They're not losing to Florida. I saw the statistics today because everybody's been talking about how good Graham Mertz has been for Florida, and Carson Beck has actually got better stats. He's better than Graham Mertz has been. So Carson Beck's playing football. Yeah. What is it?
Georgia.
I see the face. For those of you listening on the Spotify, 14?
14 and a half.
All right. That was a good guess. That was a good guess.
That's good. Yeah.
Cover.
Listen, yeah, a lot of football left to be played, albeit we've got, four or five more weeks in the college football season. We're coming off of week 8. Let's go over to the ACC, kind of stick regionally. We talked about this team last week on the show about whether or not we thought they were going to be a real threat to make college football playoff. And yep. UNC laid an egg, loses to Virginia.
I'm bummed by this one, actually.
31-27. I was too. I was rooting for North Carolina. Listen, there's a lot of people that are talking really badly about South Carolina, considering our worst loss is to your Gators. We've lost to North Carolina, who until last week was unbeaten. We lost to Georgia, but kept it close. We were blown out by Tennessee, lost to a ranked Missouri team, and we're about to go get blown out to a not-so-good Texas A&M team. But this North Carolina team, I think they dropped a 17th in the poll this week. I don't think they've – I mean, they might still have a shot at the ACC, but if Florida State runs the table and then North Carolina knocks them off in the ACC championship game, that would essentially eliminate the ACC from the college football playoff. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. In that scenario, I think Florida State is in if they run the table. I think they're in if they lose and then still win the ACC championship. They could still get in. But if they lose in the ACC title game to UNC, I mean, that sounds terrible. Like, they could lose to somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to lose the game prior to if people don't really believe in you. So, maybe, Ryan. I mean, if they were both undefeated going into that game, I think whoever loses could still – well, no, because that would have been UNC and in the over – yeah. The ACC has to win out. I don't feel good about the ACC this year.
Well, wrestling show co-host, easy for me to say. PJ Steven in the chat saying what the answer to your question is absolutely.
Absolutely.
I actually asked him to come and watch the show tonight because of the NFL discussion we're going to have here in a little while. Listen, the ACC, you had some contenders when Louisville knocked off Notre Dame and Florida State's obviously still undefeated. We looked at North Carolina as a real threat. And this loss to Virginia it really puts a damper on the UNC.
Surprising loss by a good, what we thought was a good UNC team. I was saying they got great quarterback play. They played decent defense. Let's see what happens here. Maybe they can run the table and get to that ACC championship. And now what the heck happened? That was shocking. I mean, my notes on that is that they couldn't stop the run. Virginia ran on them. It's over 200 yards rushing against them, and there you go. And Drake May failed at the end. He had a little bit of your guy's disease where he throws an interception at the end of the Spencer Rattler disease at the end of the game there. So unfortunately,
that's not a Spencer Rattler disease. That is a South Carolina Gamecock disease.
South Carolina Gamecock. Okay, so it's just a Carolina disease now because maybe
it's a Carolina disease. Spreading. It has been going on for decades. That if we've got a chance to come back and win the game, we are going to turn the ball over. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple of Georgia games where guys were hopping over the goal line and they fumbled it into the end zone, recovered by Georgia. We lose 14-7 against top 10 Georgia teams. So it's inevitable. Kind of like, what can I say his name? Thanos. Like Thanos, turnover at the end of the game during a comeback attempt is inevitable in the Carolinas. Let's talk about what also seems sort of inevitable at this point. Utah over Southern Cal. They beat Southern Cal twice last season.
Yeah.
I was the only one on this show to take Utah over Southern Cal last week.
Yeah.
The rest of the picks are irrelevant. We'll get to those later in the show. Southern Cal has now lost two, I believe it was their second straight. And they've still got games with Oregon and Washington ahead.
They're done.
I believe they were 24th in the country after this loss to Utah. Is this more of an inclination of the fact that Southern Cal just isn't who we thought they were? Or is it more of a Utah is better than we expected them to be, even without Cam Rising returning yet?
I think Utah is better than we expected them to be. I think we didn't expect USC to play good defense, and they didn't in this game. Obviously, both teams scored in the 30s, right? Utah played a little bit better defensively. I think my note on the game was that Utah had some opportune sacks during the game. They got to the quarterback a little bit more, put a little bit more pressure on Caleb Williams. And, I mean, it was a two-point game. That's going to make the difference. Each team, if you look at the statistics, you're like, how did USC lose this game? And the only thing that really stands out is the defensive sacks that really kind of helped Utah. So I didn't get a chance to watch this game. But
it was a late-night game, and Utah kicked a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, I think Utah's a little better.
Yep, I think so, too. I've been talking – matter of fact, I had Utah preseason. If you go back and watch our preseason predictions, I had Utah in my Final Four. With now, albeit with Notre Dame, Georgia, and Florida State, or whoever it was I had out of the ACC,
that is entirely possible without Cam Rising at this point. That's a pretty shocking. That's a pretty good one, Ryan. I'll give you that one because at this point, Washington looks beatable. They have a huge game this week. Huge game this week against Oregon. Utah does, and
Trey Toll's in the chat saying he picked Utah last week as well. On the same page with me, Trey. Appreciate you coming in the show. Like Trey, like PJ Steven, if you're watching the show live, leave a comment wherever it is you're watching, be it Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Most everybody comes and watches on Facebook, and I'm thoroughly grateful for that. Leave some comments. Join the conversation. We love the interaction. I'm going to go out of order here for a second because after last week, because I really want to spend a couple minutes.
Here's what he does. Now the internet's going to crap out. Where are we now? Where are we?
So we've only got two more things to talk about in college football. Last week, we had 9 undefeated teams in the top 25. 2 of them lost, but somehow we still have 8 teams that are undefeated in the top 25. James Madison, Dave Bues.
I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. This pisses me off, actually.
Why is that? Let's hear it.
They're not allowed to go to a bowl game.
Oh, that's right.
Because the dumb rule that makes no sense whatsoever at all. I can't figure out why.
Explain the rule to the audience. If
they're in their second year in Division I, and they are not allowed to go to a bowl game as a result because of NCAA rules. Somebody explain to me, and I don't know what the reasoning is behind this, but why is that a rule? I can see if you drop down, you're not allowed to win like the Division II national championship. And if after dropping down from Division I, has that ever happened? I don't think teams do that. Maybe they did, but I don't know. But moving up, you're moving up into supposedly a harder ranking, you know, tougher teams. And now you're undefeated and you're not allowed to go to a bowl.
So I'm going to throw an idea out there. So again, we have 8 undefeated teams left in the AP top 25. 6 of the top 6 teams in the country, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, Oklahoma. Those are your top 6. And then Air Force is number 19. James Madison debuts at 25. What if you revoke somebody's opportunity to play in the postseason and just waive the rule and let James Madison come in and play a bowl game? And hear me out here, because there is a serious scandal in college football. If you've been living under a rock, the University of Michigan is being investigated for sending a staffer to opposing stadiums, I believe 11 games. Was it 30 games?
30-some games that he bought tickets to.
11 different schools in the Big Ten. There is video evidence of him in the stadium.
Yep.
There was actually a video that they talked about on a radio show up here in Greenville, South Carolina, called The Rob Brown Show, where at an Ohio State game, I believe it was last season, C.J. Stroud played a hard count, looked up to get the call from the sidelines, and everybody on the Michigan sideline, this video is like an end zone angle, and everybody on the sideline, as soon as they got the call in, started giving the Roman Reigns, giving the bloodline ones, and you saw some players shift. This is a legitimate story, Bill.
Because they pummeled. Michigan pummeled Ohio State in that game. Pummeled them. And then Ohio State darn near beat Georgia.
They are the odds-on favorite at this point in the season to win the college football national championship.
The betting favorite, correct.
I don't know. Now, granted, this is all speculation. There's no There's nothing that's been proven and set in stone, and there's no conviction, so to speak. But I think it's pretty clear that Michigan did it. I know there are scouts. I know they're scouting other teams. But there's a such thing as watching formations and
well,
scouting
a weird thing here,
and stealing signs.
There's a weird thing. Stealing signs is not against NCAA rules. It's actually not outlawed. What is outlawed is you are not allowed to attend. You're not allowed to have team employees attend other teams' games during the season. That is what they're in trouble for.
Well,
the scandal is they don't, that the stealing signs has been called out, but that is actually not outlawed.
Well, what's really funny is the staffer that has attended so many games is in that video from Michigan, Ohio State.
In the video, actually, with his phone in the air, taping. They have pictures of him in the stands taping the other team.
Well, that call that we just talked
recording
about.
Recording the other team. I shouldn't say taping because there's no tape.
Yeah, this, we're not in 1995 anymore.
All right. That's my dad. My dad always says, I taped it. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Dad?
It's called a DVR. It's all digital. Yeah. No, but on that play call, you can see that staffer, and I can't say his name off the top of my head, but he is standing right next to the defensive coordinator as they're making the defensive call. Yeah. Bill, if this comes to fruition, like you said, sign stealing isn't banned in the NCAA. But what they are doing to go out and attempt to steal signs is a violation. Do you think, and this could go back. I mean, they've got a long paper trail is what they're saying. Are we about to see a huge crackdown on Michigan? Are we about to see wins vacated? Are we about to see a bowl ban? Like, what do you expect to come out of this? Because again, this is a really big deal. And Tim wants to know what happens to Harbaugh. Because he was due for a contract extension. They were in talks. And so, two questions. What happens to Michigan? And what happens to John Harbaugh as a result? Because this isn't the first time we've talked about John Harbaugh being in hot water this offseason.
The guy's name is Connor Stallions. That's the
That's it. Thank you, Pedro Guillen.
Yeah, Pedro. Thank you.
Connor
Pedro.
Stallions.
That's I had it for name. You. I just didn't want to interrupt you. What are your questions? What happens?
What happens to Michigan to Jim Harbaugh?
The NCAA has to step in here, and they would be the ones that would have to vacate wins. Like I said, they haven't really the investigation is whether or not they should vacate wins based on the fact that people attended the games or their employees attended other teams' games. That has to be a really high-level offense, and so far people have said this does not warrant that. It's not that big of a deal. The only reason that actually was outlawed in 1984 as a cost-saving measure for smaller programs so that bigger programs couldn't send all their scouts to scout other teams, right? So this used to be a thing that they were allowed to do. They can't now, and that's not a big offense. So that's probably not going to happen. What's probably going to happen is the Big Ten is going to have to step in, is what I've been reading, and they're going to be fining Michigan, which – it's nothing. It's really nothing. So while this is really an unfortunate situation for everybody involved, you know, all the schools, there's going to be players that get hurt by this, you know, kind of thing. I don't think there's a whole lot that's going to come of it. Just don't think so. It's a black eye for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, but I don't think that they're the only team that was doing it. They're just the first team to get caught.
I think it's a black eye for Jim Harbaugh. I think it's a black eye for Michigan. It's a black eye for college football. I think kind of like a lot of people still call the Astros cheaters from their sign stealing. a lot of people call Tom Brady.
This doesn't involve a garbage can.
Yeah, this doesn't involve a garbage can. A lot of people wanted to call Tom Brady a cheater for Deflategate in the NFL. I think this is going to be one of those situations where if you are an anti-Michigan fan, this is going to fuel your fire, and Michigan is going to be forever thought of as a team that's willing to lie, cheat, and steal.
I think the good news is they didn't win anything while doing this. That this was a not previous yet. Season. Well, and now it's done. They can't do it now.
Yeah.
It's over. Now the microscope has been pointed at the Michigan Wolverines. So if they lose now, everybody's going to point at them and go, see, they couldn't steal signs, and now they lost.
Yeah.
But they didn't win anything while they were doing it. Unlike the Houston Astros, who had a player win the MVP that season, that they were really, you know, when it was really cooking, and they won the World Series on a walk-off well, they won the American League Championship Series at a walk-off home run when that was what they were fighting out. It was on a whatever. But they won the World Series that year. That was the biggest deal for me, is that they actually won the championship while they were cheating. And then in Major League Baseball just kind of said, oh, sweep it under the rug. Let's not asterisk that at all. That's the problem. Michigan didn't really win anything, so it's really just going to affect Harbaugh, and it's going to make him look bad. What happens to him going forward? I mean, I think it depends on what happens this season. If they win a championship title, you know, I think he could still make big money staying with Michigan, but it sounds like from the articles I've read that people expect him to move on, which is, where's he going?
He's been rumored to move back to the NFL for the last few years, and we haven't seen it. Real quick, shout out to Matt Buck, former guest of the show and guest picker in the chat. And then Tim Costello wants to remind us about Spygate. A lot of teams. Listen, Eddie Guerrero famously once said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And that's what the Michigan Wolverines are doing.
That's professional football. Spygate was professional football. Yeah. And there's so much money involved in that. All they do is pay. Whatever happened to Robert Kraft's scandal of him and the massage parlor, that literally just disappeared.
Oh yeah. I think he got fined by the NFL and suspended for a couple of games, but nobody remembered it. Just like they're trying to
laws broken there? Well, I mean, wasn't there video of him? I mean, come on.
Coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
As part of the court deal was that they were never going to release the videos.
Yeah.
Speaking of Spygate and massage parlors and all this stuff, did you see Brady Quinn body Deshaun Watson this week on social media?
No.
When we go to our first break, I've got to find that tweet because he basically got into a Twitter beef with Deshaun Watson's trainer. And the line that he hit the trainer with to end that conversation was brutal. Stay tuned.
Is Brady Quinn allowed to say anything?
Of course he is. He was a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns at one time.
He was horrifically terrible.
I mean, like,
I could be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and be horrifically terrible.
Deshaun Watson hasn't been great, to be completely honest. Now he's dealing with a rotator cuff injury.
It's not good. Yeah,
don't know if he's gonna come back anytime soon. Speaking of Deshaun Watson in the NFL, let's get into some NFL talk because we have a lot of fantasy football conversation to get to in this game and in this show. NFL Week 7 took place. A lot of stuff happened in the NFL. Let's start off with three 1-win teams in the NFL got wins over the weekend, including the Justin Fieldless Giants. Or I'm sorry, Justin Fieldless. Why can I say
who does Justin Fields play for, Ryan?
The Bears. I saw Giants on my screen because it was the next one. The Justin Fieldless Bears getting a win over the Raiders. Let's start there because I think this pretty much was the nail in the coffin for Josh McDaniels in Vegas, right? You can't lose to a guy whose last game was a loss in like Division II college football.
I thought it was three, wasn't he? Like
whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was
two. Is it two? I don't know. His dad's a 28-time arm wrestling champion.
21-time arm wrestling 28 champion?
28-time world champion.
We're talking Ted Nugent for the Chicago. I'm sorry,
yes.
Tyson Badgett for the Chicago Bears.
Favorite hot dogs. I don't even know.
Oh man. All right. So yeah, I think if you lose to a guy named Tyson Badgett in his first career start, Tyson Badgett did something that CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson didn't do in their first starts, and he won a game.
Please fire Josh McDaniels. Please fire Josh McDaniels. But see, the problem is the ownership group in Las Vegas is bad.
Yeah.
Is it Mark Davis? Is that his name?
It's Al Davis's son. Yeah.
Yeah. Bowl cut Mark Davis.
Bowl cut.
Yeah. Worst haircut ever. He looks like a 5-year-old child.
He cuts his own hair. It's like, you know, he reminds me of, if you've never seen Parks and Rec, there's a congressman or some bigwig on that show that legit, like he jokes about the fact that he cuts his own hair because it's cheaper. He puts a ball around his head and cuts his hair. That's exactly what Mark Davis looks like.
He's a bad owner. Another bad owner. His dad was a bad owner. He's a bad owner. And who knows what he's going to do. I mean, he's the one that hired Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels has been a dumpster fire every time he's been a coach.
Everywhere he's gone.
Yeah. Until he gets pulled back in by Belichick, and Belichick keeps him safe for a while, like he's his son or something like that, even though his son works there too. But he's just terrible. And he's not been good. I think that team is bad. He's got Josh Jacobs. I think Garoppolo is a pretty decent quarterback. They can't keep him.
He's been banged up, though. Yeah.
He's been banged up, I know. And he hasn't had a good season. But McDaniels just needs to go. He's not good.
I think maybe he should give a shot at college because he's not doing it in the NFL. Let's move on to the next game here. The New York Giants, the one when New York Giants get a big win against a division rival in the Washington Commanders. Were you surprised at all that they were able to come and get a win here?
No, because they finally are freaking playing Tyrod Taylor. I've been saying for two seasons, get rid of Daniel Jones. He's the terrible quarterback. And Tyrod Taylor has almost a 100 passer rating behind center for the New York Giants. You know what? Do you know what freaking Daniel Jones passer rating against that same terrible offensive line that my dad screams about? It's the offensive line. He has a 71 passer rating. Tyrod Taylor has a 97. We're done talking about it. Stop putting Daniel Jones in football games. Done with it.
He's still listening to this question going into the game against the New York Jets.
They should never play him again. I actually watched a fantasy football show just a little while ago.
So fired up.
I cannot stand Daniel Jones. It makes me angry because it's my dad's football team and it's Tim's football team and it's my uncle's football team and terrible decisions they're making. I don't even understand what they're trying to do. He cannot play football. He cannot play football. And Tyrod Taylor can't. So they should be playing him. I told Tim earlier this week, this is what I think is going on in New York. I think they're playing Daniel Jones because he was a draft pick and the current regime is not tied to the quarterback. That they're going to start him and they're purposely losing so they can draft a quarterback next season.
That's
what I think is happening.
Pedro came into the chat saying that that Daniel Jones is garbage and the Giants have to address it. The quarterback controversy, he loves it. Tim said the man called it weeks ago. Tim, you put in Sam Darnold in the chat. We are going to get to Sam Darnold talk because we are picking a spoiler.
I called it in preseason. The Giants are a better team with Tyrod Taylor quarterback. He's proving it. Thank you, Tyrod. I'll send you my $100 that I said I would give you if you could win some games for me. I'm kidding. Man, makes plenty of money.
Yeah, he makes plenty of money. The last one-win team to get a win last week were the New England Patriots knocking off the Bills. The Bills have lost to a couple of questionable teams this year after blowing out Miami.
Hey, nobody remembers that.
More of an inclination that New England might be able to put something together, or just the fact that Buffalo is, as they will always be, inconsistent.
We'll find out this week. New England has to play Miami this week in Miami. They're going to wear their blues, I'm sure, because that's what Miami does to opposing teams. And yeah, I think Miami's, well, we'll see. We'll see. There's other stuff we have to talk about with the Dolphins this week, but
another quarterback.
No, I don't hate Mac Jones. I don't hate Mac Jones. I think there's a little bit of stuff going on there. I mean, the guy has no weapons. Weapons. And talking about Kendrick Bourne and how good Kendrick Bourne is. Oh, he is amazing. Nobody has seen that. Wide open all the time.
In fairness, Tom Brady didn't have a lot of weapons outside of
Tom Brady was a generational talent. I'm not calling Mac Jones Tom Brady. I'm just saying he's not as bad as everybody thinks he is.
Well, let's move on because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. In some of the big games over the weekend, there was a lot of, let's talked about one-sided officiating.
Oh, gosh.
And some really big games this weekend. This is where I wanted PJ Steven to come in the conversation because PJ Steven would tell you that sports are rigged and football is rigged. The Detroit Lions, if you watch that game, were being severely held every time they got in the backfield or tried to get into the backfield against Lamar Jackson, and they didn't call it. The first penalty that was called was against the Lions for holding. At that point, I think the Lions were already down 28-0. The Browns-Colts game was so egregious that Jim
Irsay. I think that was a mistake. Those were mistake calls. That wasn't as obvious as some other games we watched, where from the beginning of the game, it looked like something was up.
Talking about for Baltimore-Detroit?
Yes, like Baltimore-Detroit. Obviously, there were a couple games, and one of them, I mean, if we want to talk about it, obviously the Miami game is one of them.
Yeah,
is being talked about all throughout social media. Everybody's talking about the Miami game. I think there's a difference when there are calls being missed in the first quarter and when there are calls being missed at the end of the games. Now, the Colts-Browns game, there were calls made that were wrong or at least ridiculous at the end of the game. I think those are just mistakes.
Well, Pedro came in the chat and mentioned the refs won this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you could argue that, yeah, the first quarter missed calls and whatnot are mistakes that don't, you know, change the outcome of games. But Detroit was blown out before halftime. They didn't have a shot.
Oh yeah.
And it was completely clear, and I'm going to be biased. It was clearly one side of the officiating from the jump. Then you look over to the Lions or to the Browns-Colts game. You mentioned the fourth quarter penalties allowed, instead of the Colts getting a ball on a turnover, the Browns take over, kick the game-winning field goal, win that game. Yep. I despise Jim Irsay, but he made a good point that you're going to have to bring back in reviewing penalties. You're going to have to allow challenging plays in the final 2 minutes of games. I don't care if it extends to how long the games are. I don't care about TV contracts. You've got to have to get it right. And if you can't allow games to change hands and games to go from winning to losing over bad calls, that's what replay is there for.
Right.
You have the technology. Use the technology and get it right. Now, when we talk about the Miami-Philadelphia game, Bill, I'm going to let you take the lead here because it's similar to what I felt about Philadelphia. The Baltimore-Detroit game. It just seemed extremely one-sided. Like they weren't paying attention to one side.
It seemed.
But the magnifying glass
statistics. Statistics to back it up. I mean, Philadelphia wasn't called for a single penalty in that game. That happens one to two times per season.
Pedro's an Eagles fan. He says they felt really bad for the Dolphins on the roughing the passer and the face mask miss call, but he's going to gladly take that win. Bill, take it back. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to.
No, that's fine. Pedro obviously would give him the floor. You know, I agree with his. And see, I would be saying the same thing if it was the opposite way as a Dolphins fan. It wasn't just the face mask. I mean, there was holding calls that were happening against the Dolphins and not happening again. And I sent you videos, Ryan, of David Long in the first quarter when it was 3-3 got an arm wrapped around his neck and tackled behind the line of scrimmage while he was blitzing the quarterback.
Oh, we got clotheslined.
It was actually like not even clothesline because that would have been a straight arm. This was like the guy wrapped his arm, gave him a headlock and got tackled and they didn't call anything. Multiple times during that game there were penalties and I've got photos, video, everything where I can show the Eagles were clearly committing penalties and they were not being called. And they were being, and I have no problem with that as long as you're going to let that happen on both sides of the ball.
Be consistent.
Exactly. And the Dolphins had a touchdown called back. And we'll talk about how these calls change the game or whatever. We're not talking about exact points, points scored or anything like that. Like, oh, if this didn't happen, they'd have this many points. But there was actually a touchdown call back on a holding call by the Dolphins. And when you watch that replay, it wasn't as bad as some of the non-calls that the Eagles were getting. So it's frustrating. I was really frustrated. I actually, in the middle of the game, I looked at my dad and I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
Like before it got to that face mask, I had already said to him, what is going on? Like, what? Why are we not seeing calls on some of these things? And then the Dolphins are getting all these ridiculous calls. Richard Sherman actually, and I sent you the picture this week.
I was going to bring that up right now.
Richard Sherman actually said, I believe it was, well, I guess maybe afterwards, he said, I'm very frustrated with the officiating in the NFL right now because they are determining way too many ball games and getting way too involved in the ball games. And I think we saw that multiple times this week, but this is not a this season type of thing. I feel like I've been talking about this for 15 years and they've never done anything to fix it. And maybe Jim Irsay is right. Maybe we do need to review these kinds of things. Problem is, I'm not sure Jim Irsay would have been very happy with the review on the first call that Indianapolis had against the Browns. I think that still would have stuck because the guy did stick his arm out, even though Amari Cooper ran right into him. But at the second call where the ball flew into the stands and they called pass interference, nobody was catching that ball, even if their wide receiver was Manute Bol, and they still called pass interference. Made no sense. I can't stand this kind of stuff. I hate talking about referees. That's the problem. We need to stop talking about referees. The NFL needs to fix this so we can stop talking about referees. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. I hate using it as an excuse. I don't want to use it as an excuse.
Same.
They absolutely swayed games this weekend. They did. The Miami game was disgusting. It was terrible.
Let's see. Tim even said it. I put it up on the screen a minute ago. What's the point of having the replay people if they're not going to do anything? Let's see. Pedro back in the chat, back to college. What about? Oh, he wants to know about Washington's defense, defensive PI flag that got called back, and the replay showed two counts of PI. As clear as day Saturday night. Listen, poor officiating doesn't just fall in the NFL. There's a reason why they're talking about going to robo umps in baseball, because you've got guys like, Hernandez,
Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez, who misses more calls than anybody, but still gets put behind the plate of Major League Baseball games. You see it in Kyle. I mean, I still remember the play where I think it was Hubert Owens tackled Steven Garcia in the LSU game. Like, he didn't like brace. He lowered his shoulder and shoulder tackled Steven Garcia. It happens. And remember, I don't feel like, I mean, Steve Donahue in the NBA famously went to prison for shaving points and
admitted it.
Yeah, they admitted it.
What about the was it the Saints and Rams? Was it that playoff game? Was that the NFC Championship or was it the NFC semifinal where the Saints were going down for a touchdown and I think it, or maybe it was the other way around. Either way, the corner came out. I think it was the Saints and Rams. The corner came out and said that he committed pass interference because he knew he was beat. He did it on purpose, and the officials didn't call it. It's like, it was so bad. He tackled the player before the ball ever got there, and he admitted he did it on purpose. The officials don't call it. It's just, it needs to be fixed. Tim that has a comment there, that the Giants and Bills, they swayed that game as well. There was a call towards the end of that game that swayed the game. It's bad, guys. We need to find out when the NFL is going to fix it. The only thing that will fix it, and none of us want to do this, is if we stop watching games.
Yep. You lose viewership, you lose sponsorship, but they're going to make money despite themselves. We were going to talk about the most surprising team out of this weekend, but I don't think we need to. The Vikings knocking off the 49ers is a pretty big deal, and I think we could probably agree that that was the most surprising outcome of the weekend, even with the 3-1 loss teams getting a win. Andy Hunter back in the chat. What's up? What's up, bud, from up in the Pacific Northwest? In real time, it's hard to see. Yeah.
What's up, Andy?
I can see that SpongeBob meme. Before we go to break, I do want to bring up, this is the argument. I found this the screenshot. Quincy Avery is Deshaun Watson's trainer. And basically I guess they were going back and forth about, I guess Brady Quinn was critical about Deshaun Watson, whatever the case was. I'm going to read you verbatim these four responses. Quincy Avery says, "I just seen you Saturday. I don't have anything I want to talk to you about. I'm telling you, you are talking about things you don't know. Talking on another man who doesn't know you is weak." Brady Quinn's response, "Well, I didn't see you." Quincy Avery, point being, Brady Quinn, here's the kill shot. "How about we massage this conversation and get it to a happy ending? Does that sound satisfactory?" Oh, man. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk fantasy. Let's do it. We're going to talk fantasy football, bullies, buys and sells, Bills, fact or crap. We got a lot of questions for starts and sits this week and a conversation about maybe some running backs that you could try to target in trades this week and maybe going forward. If you've got any start and sit questions, if you're watching the show live with us, put them in the chat. We'll read them. We'll interact with them as we go on the show. When we come back, bullies, buys and sells, Bills, fact or crap right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap Out and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Are back on the live show, Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Bully Rye, Banker Bill here to talk some fantasy football. Last week was another bad week in my predictions for buys and sells. Banker Bill on his factor crap went 4-4. Meanwhile, I went 1-7, bringing the total 34-22 on the season for Banker Bill, and I'm sitting at 500. And at 28-28 for the season.
I was right about Mostert too. I actually had some sells, but I was wrong. I think what was the other one that I was going to sell?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I was like 1-1 on those.
Real quick, a couple comments before we went to break. Tim wanted to mention that game cost the Saints their shot at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was that game.
And Volley Polly's up in the chat. Volley Polly, he called me on a social media. He won a contest last year. And I've got to bring it up on the show. He keeps asking. He wants to know what happens first. The Panthers get a win or he receives the T-shirt that I promised him as a result of the show. Listen, I don't have a show shirt yet, Volley Polly. As soon as I have one.
We're going to get one.
You're the first person to get one. Yeah, I promise.
We'll have to get one. How did that? Never mind. I don't even want to ask how that contest worked. For you not to pay up, Ryan, it's just wrong.
It's wrong. Listen, it's not intentional.
Not while I'm here, Ryan.
It's not intentional. I gotta find someone to make the shirts, make them affordable, and we gotta come up with a website. And listen, if we got any web designers or anybody that wants to help us, you know, create a shop. Maybe we can get a vendor that can make us shirts and
yeah,
we can put out some merch. Let's get into Bullies buys and sells for week 8. Let's start off in Bullies buys, and we're going to go to quarterback here. And I mentioned it right before the break. Minnesota Vikings had a big win. Bill, matter of fact, I need you to hold it down because my notebook is in the other room. I'm going to let you talk about Kirk Cousins for 1 second.
Kirk Cousins
is my quarterback buy this week. Take it over. I will be right.
This guy with his odd stuff. All right. So he has Kirk Cousins as his top top quarterback your buy for the week. Kirk Cousins is playing a pretty good defense with Green Bay. They only give up the eighth fewest points, but Kirk Cousins is on fire. Folks, that's what's going on. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota put up 26 points last week. Didn't do great against Chicago, but it's 23. He's got 32 and 37. He's finding how to make it work without Jefferson in the lineup. And I think he's correct. I'm going to say fact on this one. I think Kirk Cousins is a good buy this week. I gave all the statistics, Ryan. You don't need to do it. So
nothing. So
we're golden. So Kirk Cousins, a buy. He's going to be better than 20.9. I also think this is going to be a blowout. Jordan Love is failing now. I remember saying that I thought the Green Bay Packers were going to be a pretty decent team this year. They're 2-4. They're not doing well, and I don't think they turn it around this week against a team that has found its legs. Minnesota's on a roll.
They are giving up the 8th fewest points to quarterbacks. But
I don't care. I said that already, Ryan.
I didn't care. I'm with you. Kirk Cousins.
Move along.
Both a buy for us. Let's see. We got some stuff in the chats. Volley Polly said Pedro he just likes to
come on.
Andy says he's got some color crayons. I'm guessing for the fact that I had to get another
one. I
don't
have my notebook. He's on a computer, but he has to write stuff down. Like 1992.
Never the case was. Yeah, Pedro says to sell on Kirk Cousins. We're both buying him. Let's go to running back. And I am thoroughly excited about my running back buy this week. And it goes to Jahmyr Gibbs for the Detroit Lions, projected 19.5 fantasy points. Found the end zone. Got in the end zone despite a blowout loss to the Ravens last week. First NFL touchdown. He saw 11 carries despite Detroit playing from behind the entire game. He also had 9 receptions on 10 targets. Vegas gives up the 5th most points to opposing running backs in prime time on Monday Night Football. This is the official coming out party for rookie running back Jahmyr Gibbs. Bill, what say you? Fact or crap on Jahmyr Gibbs exceeding 19.5 fantasy points this week?
This is a fact. This dude is electric. He looked fantastic last week while the team looked terrible, averaged 6.2 yards per carry. I know they played the officials as well, but still, he looked really good. And this has been a pretty good running team. Montgomery was the running back. Now Gibbs is in while Montgomery's hurt. And Montgomery was really good. I don't see Gibbs slowing down at all. And they're gonna stomp, and he's gonna have a good game. So I say fact. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is a good play this week.
I'm loving it. All right, let's go to wide receiver. And this guy's a sneaky pickup. Listen, if he's available in your league, you need to go find a way to get your hands on wide receiver Josh Downs from the Indianapolis Colts. He is only projected 10.2 fantasy points. He has exceeded his current projection the past 3 weeks. He has had double-digit fantasy points 4 of the last 5 games. 2 straight weeks with touchdowns. I think that Josh Downs is the best kept secret in fantasy football. He's got a tougher matchup against the Colts. Oh, I'm sorry, against the
Saints. Look at it. Look at it. Look at that. It's that guy. It's the stash. It's the stash. It's all about Gardner Minshew throwing this guy the ball right now.
Minshew magic, baby. Despite the Saints giving up the 12th fewest points against wide receivers, Downs has shown big playability and the ability to get open. Listen, if you've got Downs, unless you've got like 3 studs at receiver, Downs is a phenomenal flex play, if not a wide receiver too, not just this week, but all going forward. I did want to give honorable mention to Garrett Wilson this week against your dad's New York Giants, but Josh Downs, my buy. Bill, fact or crap, Josh Downs, 10.2
points.
That's
a fact. It's got to be a fact. This guy's targets, 6, 8, and 6 over the last 3 games respectively. The good news is he catches most of them, and he's putting up points, 24.5 last week. It's just getting better for Josh Downs, and he has a pretty good matchup this week. So it's a middle-of-the-road matchup, but it's decent. Yeah. They're playing New Orleans. They're not great. And I think Gardner Minshew behind center is a whole lot better than having Anthony Richardson throw you the ball. So, yeah, buy on this dude. And you probably can find him. You probably he's not a guy that really people are paying attention to, but he's been scoring points.
A couple quick comments. Tim Costello, Kareem Hunt. Listen, Kareem Hunt did not practice on Wednesday this week. You might try to roll with him, but I don't believe his back, the backup running back, or maybe the starter, Jerome Ford. I don't think he practiced either. Tim Costello can ask if Minshew can do it again. Yes. I think both Bill and I believe in Gardner Minshew. Volley Polly said he thinks he has Josh in his sleeper app league, but he left him on the bench. Start him this week, dude. Roll with Josh Downs this week. Let's move over to tight end here. And this sort of warms my heart, but it also hurts because he's been so inconsistent throughout the year that I have not started him. And now I feel like I've got to start him this week, and that's tight end Darren Waller for the New York Giants. Projected 11.7 points. He finally got together last week. And the Battle of New York features the Jets allowing the most points to opposing tight ends. I think if you had Darren Waller, you were hesitant about starting him. This is a week you should feel comfortable about it. Bill, what say you? Darren Waller, factor crap, 11.7 points.
I have two words for you, Ryan. Tyrod Taylor. Those are my two words. Fact. Yeah. This offense works better with – I'm going to keep saying it. I'm like beating the drum over here. I should have a Tyrod Taylor drum at this point. The offense works better. He throws it to the right people. He doesn't look like he's lost in the backfield, like he's trying to figure out if his mac and cheese is burning. I don't know what's wrong with Daniel Jones, but Tyrod Taylor doesn't have that disease. And, yes, buy on Darren Waller. Get him in your game. He's going to score points from this point on because Tyrod Taylor knows how to use his weapons. He's going to get this guy the ball. Fact.
Shout out Jimmy Kaiser. We're going to get to you in just a second when we go starts or sits because you got a good question in here. Tim Costello talks about Gerald Everett. Listen, I had to pick and play Gerald Everett last week, and he found the end zone. He's listed as question.
That's the only time he scores.
But yeah, that's basically like you said, when the only time he scores in fantasy. If he
finds it's also
the
questionable.
Zone. Yep. Let's go over to Bully Sells this week. I've got some guys that I can already see Bill's eyes rolling before it happens. Let's start off with quarterback. And this is the biggest one. And that's
trying to fight me, Ryan. You trying to fight me?
Tua Tagovailoa projected 22.6 points. Listen, the last time the Patriots have played the Dolphins this season, and in that matchup,
have they?
The Patriots held Tua to just 14 fantasy points in week two, despite giving up 28 points to Josh Allen last week. The Dolphins coming off a tough loss to Philly that we've already talked about. You saw Tua struggle in that game. I think it's more of the same this week. New England ranks ninth against opposing quarterbacks. Listen, every week that I start Tua, he has a down week and he falls under projection.
So you keep him on the bench, Ryan.
I'm starting him, but I'm tempering my expectations.
Oh, so you're starting him, but you're going to sell him.
Brock Purdy is not going to play this week.
Brock Purdy is terrible too, so that's not good either. Tua Tagovailoa, crap. I say he scores this week. Now there is a problem down there in Miami. Tyreek Hill didn't practice today. He is questionable for Sunday against the Patriots. Some people think that Mike McDaniels is playing chess. We'll find out tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. If Tyreek practices, they say if he practices, he'll be fine. It's a hip injury. But here's what I think. I think the Dolphins are a massively better team at home when they're playing in front of their home crowd than they are on the road. And I think with the issues that New England has had, I mean, you say that they slowed him down the last game. Miami clearly knew what New England was going to do against them in that game, and they ran the ball down their throats. New England knows that that's a possibility now. Raheem Mostert had a great game against New England. Mm-hmm. They know it's a possibility now. They can't just stop the pass. Miami can run also. It's going to be a different game, and I think Tua goes over 22.6.
Yeah, Pedro thinks that Tua bounces back, and then Tim wants to know about Desmond Ridder. Listen, I broke down on the Cat Cave this week, my Carolina Panthers show over on the Keep Pounding Podcast Network. I broke down the entire NFC South. Desmond Ridder has put up decent yards, but he is not there. The Falcons, despite being first in the NFC South, they are not finishing drives. They are not finding the end zone. And considering that we didn't know that Bijan Robinson was not going to get a single touch last week, I don't trust anything about this Falcons offense. And I can't wait to get later on in the show because I really get to take a dump on somebody. But I digress. I don't feel comfortable starting Desmond Ridder this week. If you have to, there's nobody on a bye this week. So it's not like you should have to resort to starting a guy like Ted Nugent or whatever his name is in Chicago, or a Desmond Ridder. There's somebody out there that's better that you can play.
Is there? Desmond Ridder had a couple good weeks a couple weeks ago, Ryan. A couple 20-point games, but you're right. I don't feel great about that offense. They just don't seem to put it together, even though they win games.
Yeah. Let's move over to my running back sell, and this is a guy that kind of breaks my heart because I've got him in two leagues. Running back Joe Mixon for the Cincinnati Bengals projected 13.3. San Francisco gave up a ton of yards to Kirk Cousins last week, but I think I saw the Niners in the backfield more on handoffs than I actually saw running backs gain yards for the Vikings last week. Mixon has barely hit this projection three times this season on the road against the Niners. Now, granted, I just mentioned it. The Niners are probably going to be rolling with Sam Darnold this week. But
what? That's so much fun to say.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
Say it again. I want to hear that one more time.
Even the 49ers with Sam Darnold, I think they have something to prove after going undefeated and losing two straight. I think it's a long day ahead for Joe Mixon. Bill, what say you? Fact or crap, Joe Mixon, 13.3, take the under.
You know, I'm going to have to say fact on this only because even when they're playing well, Joe Mixon doesn't do much better than this projection. I'm not sure why it's so high. Are they projecting off of last season? I'm not sure. But Joe Mixon has not had a fantastic season fantasy-wise regardless. I mean, his max this season is 14.0. I mean, so why 13.3? Does that become the projection? This is like his average. So I don't – and they're playing on the road in San Francisco. And San Francisco's pissed because they've come off two games. Now, granted, you said it. I can't wait to see Sam Darnold. This is going to be great. When they come out of this game 5-3, is everybody going to still be like, San Francisco for the Super Bowl? No, we're done, okay? They're not as good as we thought they were. Now that the wheels are starting to come off, and this is going to be a fun week. That's going to be fun to see. But, yeah, I'm going to say fact on this. I don't think he gets 13.3.
Well, when I sent you this sell, I labeled it low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
And my wide receiver sell this week is DK Metcalf, projected 13.1 points.
Why is it low-hanging fruit, Ryan?
He missed last week due to an injury, and he draws the Browns, giving up the fewest points to wide receivers. Albeit, they gave up big days to both Michael Pittman and Josh Downs last week. DK Metcalf is dealing with a hip issue. Don't know what it means for him going forward.
I do, Ryan.
Let's hear it.
DK Metcalf has been removed from the injury report, and as such, I'm going to call crap on your sell.
Take it. Okay, we need some separation.
Whoops, man. A little too early, Ryan. Wrong again, Ryan. This guy is a beast. We both know it. You were banking on the fact that he was going to be injured. This dude scores above this every week. So, yeah.
I think they're going to ease him back to game action. I don't think he beats his 13.1.
Have you seen this guy? This guy is Adonis.
He's
healthy, he's going to come and just run over cornerbacks like he always does.
If he had half of my body fat, he would not be considered. End. Yeah. Man. Anyway, sell on DK Metcalf. Probably don't listen to me, whatever the case is. I still don't. You're going to start him. If he's playing, you start him.
He's playing.
You start your studs. You start DK Metcalf. This is the last time. So we talked about this on the show. On wrestling's show, I don't mention Phil Brooks by his wrestling name anymore. Earlier on the offseason, we were not mentioning Aaron Rodgers by name anymore. This is the last time I'm going to name him on this show. My tight end sell goes to Kyle Pitts with a lowly 8.7 projection.
Get him.
Are you ready for me to take an absolute dump on Kyle Pitts?
Let's go.
Cut this guy off your roster. What? You don't even need to roster Kyle Pitts. He doesn't deserve to be rostered in your league. He has been surpassed by Jonnu Smith as tight end one in Atlanta. Ridder only has 6 touchdowns on the season. We talked about Ridder a second ago. 6 touchdowns on the season, and somehow Kyle Pitts has one of them. Tennessee ranks 7th against opposing tight ends. Don't fall for the experts here. They want to tell you that Kyle Pitts has upside. He's still one of the best tight ends in football. When you have Desmond Ridder throwing you the football, you've been surpassed by a guy who's like 10 years older than you. Kyle Pitts is, and unless Kyle Pitts goes to an offense, I don't know, like Kansas City, or at this point, Detroit, Minnesota, San Francisco. Kyle Pitts will never be a consistent, viable tight end option in fantasy football. Listen, no knock on the guy personally. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. But a tight end draft in the top 10 to be this disappointing is shameful. And for every expert on ESPN, on NBC, on Fox Sports, whoever it is that wants to try to talk up Kyle Pitts and say better things are ahead for Kyle Pitts, they're lying to you. Cut Kyle Pitts off your roster. You don't let some other sucker waste a roster spot on Kyle Pitts. You never need to play him again. Bill, Kyle Pitts, you think he's going to beat 8.7 points this week?
Ryan, did Kyle Pitts hurt you?
No. The Atlanta Falcons have hurt me.
Atlanta
Falcons have hurt Kyle Pitts.
This sounds like some Gamecock anger or something like that. I'm not sure. Whew. Now,
I get frustrated watching a guy who's supposed to be a generational tight end.
If Kyle Pitts had been a South Carolina Gamecock, Ryan would have been saying right now that he's still going to get 90 catches by the end of the season. Let's just be real. Or if he was on the Detroit Lions. But let's just say this. This is crap. Kyle Pitts is the 12th ranked tight end in fantasy football, Ryan. 12th. That means on a 12-team league, he's starting on somebody's team. He averages 8.6 points per game. That's the 12th ranked tight end in fantasy football. Two out of the last 3 weeks, Kyle Pitts has scored. Ryan, you ready? At least 14.3 points per game.
I don't care.
This is a crazy talk prediction. This is terrible. This is more wrong again, Ryan. And I say crap on this one. I think even though he's playing a good defense against tight ends in Tennessee, Tennessee's a disaster. We're talking dumpster fire disaster. They're going to start Will Levis this weekend, and that is not going to be good. So let's watch Kyle Pitts do better than 8.7. Crap.
All right. Let's get into, because we're running late here. Let's get into the starts and sit questions.
That was a terrible rant. A terrible rant. Would Kyle Pitts hurt you in a past life or something? I don't even know what he did.
Yeah.
You know what he did? He probably beat your Gamecocks. That's probably what happened.
No. If he goes, was he to on the that best team that beat you guys
38-6? He was, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. That was
Volley Polly. I'm doing it. I want to turn my week around to 7-1-2. Screw Bill's predictions. We're going to start off in the chat real quick because Jimmy Kaiser wanted to know. He's got a pick two: James Cook versus Tampa Bay, Garrett Wilson at the Giants, George Pickens or Deontay Johnson against Jacksonville, PPR flex. Bill, I mentioned Garrett Wilson had an honorable mention for me.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Garrett Wilson, but I'm also starting George Pickens as my wide receiver two in one league. So I had to pick one of these guys or pick two of these guys. I'd go Garrett Wilson and George Pickens.
I'm on that one. Yeah, I was going to say Pickens. I like Pickens. He keeps doing better and better. Lots of targets for that player. And that offense, it surprises me. I hate it because it's – what's his name? Oh, I can't even think of his name. Pickens and Pickett. You know, yeah. But Pickens is having a pretty good season. He's had over 100 yards receiving the last two games that he's played in. I think Pickens is your guy. Garrett Wilson scares me, man, because they have no quarterback.
The Giants are giving up a lot of points, though.
They don't have a quarterback. We've talked about this. Although he didn't throw for 200 yards in his last game, so he might throw for 200 in this one. So he's a good player. I'll concur with you on that one. But I really like George Pickens. Make sure he's playing.
Jimmy also wants to know if he drops Deshaun for Minshew, two quarterback league, didn't draft well at quarterback. He's got Stroud and Dobbs. At this point, we don't know when Deshaun Watson is going to come back. They've all but said that PJ Walker is going to start this week. At this point, I would. Wouldn't you drop Deshaun Watson for Gardner Minshew?
Yes. Gardner Minshew throwing for 300 yards, and he threw for 300 yards against Jacksonville. Jacksonville has a pretty good defense, even though he got picked off three times. I mean, when you're flinging it around the field, ask Brett Favre. Sometimes throw it to the wrong team. So,
all right.
Yeah, I would definitely pick up Gardner Minshew. I think his upside is higher.
All right, let's go. Let's go some of the questions that we got on Facebook. Volley Polly wanted to know, pick three, Jordan Addison, Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill, Chris Olave. I think with the fact that Tyreek Hill is banged up and didn't practice on Wednesday – you're still playing him. So it would obviously be Jordan Addison, Thielen, and Tyreek Hill at this point, correct?
Well, flex? No, I'm probably not. He's playing. I would say Thielen, Hill, and Olave.
Thielen, Hill. Well, I'm gonna take Addison over Olave. So Volley Polly, you take that with what you wish. Tim Costello wants to know, Joe Burrow or Tyrod Taylor, Bill?
This week?
Yeah, this week. Burrow playing the Niners and Tyrod Taylor playing the Jets. Both have decent defense matchups.
Honestly, that shouldn't be a question.
Yeah, listen, you start your studs. Joe Burrow's a stud. You play Joe Burrow. Aaron, former guest of the show, three-time game picker, Tank Dell or Justin Palmer? I think Palmer's got to get the start here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And then he also wants to know pick three: Mostert, Swift, Walker, Mixon, and Breece. He just wants us to set his lineup for him.
This is ridiculous.
I think the obvious answer is Mostert, Swift, and Walker, because we're not starting Mixon. Breece Hall is sort of a funny play here, but I think Mostert, Swift, and Walker is your best option here. Kenneth Walker, that being who he's asking.
Of course. Those are two of my running backs, Mostert and Walker. I don't think you start Mixon. Who are the Eagles playing this week?
Ooh, I don't know. First of all, you're welcome, Jimmy. Thanks for tuning in. You said, who are the Eagles playing this week?
Yep, that's my only question. They're playing the Washington Commanders.
Yep, at Washington, a 6.5-point favorite are the Eagles.
Oh, my goodness. Breece Hall has been a beast, man. That makes me nervous. The Giants are pretty good against the run, I think. So they have pretty good interior line. Oh, man, I think I go Mostert, Swift, and Walker on that one.
All right, we are running late, and I know Austin Thompson.
Really late.
Austin Thompson, he's the Henry County High School.
Too many topics Ryan puts on the board. It's just too many. He writes me a book every week, and he's like, this is all the things we're going to talk about. And I'm like, dude, I can't think of these things in an hour.
Well, Henry County High School running back, fullback coach, Austin Thompson will be joining us to make picks here in a second. We had one more fantasy football question that we wanted to get to. Aaron Thompson's brother-in-law, Lawton Hendricks, wants to know what running back should he target in a trade. He's got guys like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Justin Herbert, and TJ Hockenson. He's got available to make a trade. I am in this league with Lawton Hendricks. He is the highest scoring team in the league, at least maybe the second highest scoring team in the league, but he has the most points against and has two wins on the season. But his running backs are sort of weak. I believe he said in the Facebook chat that he was sitting on with James Conner on IR. He was sitting on a couple of guys that just he didn't have faith in. You want my opinion? I think if you're going to trade a guy away like Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, you need to go for a guy like Christian McCaffrey, like Kenneth Walker, like Alvin Kamara. But it depends on, we're going to talk about this more next week, on guys that you want to go after for trades to make that second half of the season push in fantasy football. It depends on who you're willing to give up as to who you're willing to go get. If you want a guy like McCaffrey, like Kamara, you're going to have to come off of one of your big name wide receivers, maybe even TJ Hockenson being one of the highest scoring tight ends in fantasy football. But if you're willing to go take a flyer on a guy like why can I say his name? Deontay Foreman in Chicago, and you're willing to give up a sleeper in Josh Downs to go get a guy like Foreman to play for a few weeks until Khalil Herbert gets back. Bill, what say you? Like, what kind of running back do you think that Lawton can go out and target with these guys that he's got available for trade?
Honestly, here's what I think I trade in this situation. I was thinking about more of what would actually be a reality here. I think the one that I would get rid of that I don't know if we're going to get production out of for the rest of the season, a guy that normally does produce for us, is Jalen Waddle. Tua Tagovailoa is targeting the crap out of Tyreek Hill down there. I think he had 15 targets in the last game, and Jalen Waddle only had like six, maybe seven. So Jalen's not going to – he's not producing like we thought he was going to, but the shine hasn't come off of Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is known as a producer. He's known as a spectacular player, and Miami has that offense, and everybody knows it. So I think I would try to trade Jalen Waddle, and I'd go after somebody like Austin Eckler because he hasn't produced this season. And the dude's a beast. He will eventually get back to where he's supposed to be. And when he is where he's supposed to be, he's one of the top two running backs in the league. You're talking CMC and Austin Eckler. They're kind of interchangeable. And people are going to be – anybody that owns him is going to be frustrated with him. So I think I try to dump Waddle and go after somebody like Eckler. I think that'd be a trade that people would actually look at. You might be able to pull off, and you get a really top-tier guy once he's healthy and feeling good.
Yeah, again, the other concern is you got to see what the guy that you're trading with has. Yeah. If he's got stud receivers, he's not going to care about
Waddle
receivers.
Waddle has that shine, man. You know Waddle has that shine. He's a first three round pick probably in most leagues. So and even though he's not producing, and I'm not sure he's going to produce this season because of what that offense is looking like, and he's banged up. But they're not really talking about it. So I think I try to dump Waddle. I think you can get more than you probably could for like Michael Pittman. People are going to look at Pittman and go, oh, he's got Minshew as his quarterback. He's not going to do well, even though he's been a stud up until this point. But Waddle hasn't been a stud, and people think of him as a stud. So get a stud for
that. It's got that name value. Yeah, we're going to talk,
man. That's that shine.
We're going to talk a lot next week about guys to go after at the trade deadline. We're almost in. By next week, we'll be in the month of November. Most fantasy football leagues' trade deadlines are right about Thanksgiving, and we are rapidly approaching that. So we're going to talk some more trade targets next week on the show. We're going to take our final break. Austin Thompson has been patiently waiting, as I think every one of our pickers have done in the last few weeks, to come and make some football picks with us. So we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Austin Thompson from the Henry County High School football coaching staff will be with us to make picks. We'll be right back. Stay tuned right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
Welcome back to the show. We are in podcast pick'ems here for week 9 of the football season. On the season, Banker Bill sits atop the leaderboard at 27, 12, and 1. I am right behind him, 25, 14, and 1. And unfortunately for our guest last week, Shannon Smith went 1-4. The guest pickers are now 24, 11, and 1 on the season. So without further ado, let's bring in Aaron Thompson's cousin, the running back coach for the Henry County High School's football program. Let's bring in Austin Thompson, a very good friend of mine. We've been in some fantasy leagues together before. Austin, what's going on, bud?
What's up, big man? Oh, pretty good. Hey, I just want to clarify. I am Aaron's uncle, actually.
Aaron's uncle. So, sorry. He's technically Aaron's uncle. I forgot.
You can't see the family resemblance. I know, it's like a blood thing. I'm highly attractive, and he's not, so.
Yeah,
I'm not going to speak on that. Like, if we said, oh, I agree, that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
No, I wouldn't.
I haven't even seen Aaron in the chat tonight. He might be busy, which I'm sure he's
going to be upset. He texted me. He said he's sick.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why he hasn't been in here giving you a hard time. Well, let's go into our podcast pick and some big shoes to fill after a 1-4 attempt from Shannon Smith last week.
I'm feeling good about my odds if it's 1-4. I'm feeling good.
Yep. Let's go. Let's go to the college ranks here. We talked about Utah in this game. We talked about Oregon having a really good football team here. The number 8 Oregon Ducks, a 6.5-point favorite at number 13 Utah. Austin, I'll let you start us off here. Who you got? Oregon on the road against Utah.
I mean, you got to feel like Oregon's going to be able to win by at least a touchdown, right? I mean, Utah's kind of been riding that defense all year. Hey, hold on a second. I'm sorry, it's my son.
No, Hush. You're good, man. We got a baby in the background. He wants to get in on the picks too.
But Utah's kind of been riding that defense all year long, and I feel like they've went into study hall and gotten quarterbacks out of study hall, if you can throw, right? So, Bo Nix is 30 years old now. It's now or never. Like they got to win or they don't have a chance, right? Yeah. And I think that like I said, that helps out a lot too, knowing that you've got to win if you want a shot. Because I think that one of the 4 teams from the playoff is coming from this conference, right? So, I think that gives them a little more energy. So I think they cover by at least 10, right? I'd feel comfortable putting 10.
Austin's taking Oregon. Banker Bill, who you got here, bud?
Man, Austin coming with the fire right there. That is hardcore. Hey. I'd like to point out that this game is in Utah. This is a Utah home game, and I think it is an insult to the Utah Utes that it is a 6.5-point spread. Put some respect on the – come on, man. I cannot believe that they're giving that to Oregon. Man, Utah covers this. In fact, Utah wins this game outright.
I was not expecting that from Bill because I'm taking Oregon – I'm sorry, I'm taking Utah too. I think Utah is – we talked about this earlier in the show. Utah is better than people are giving them credit for. Mm-hmm. They are the underdog in this game. They are the lower-ranked team out of the Pac-12. They hand Oregon their first loss of the season en route to another Pac-12 championship appearance. I like Utah as well. Let's move let's stay in the Pac-12, but let's move on to the next game here. Sort of a sneaky game here. Oregon State, the 11th-ranked team in the country, taking on a sneaky Arizona team. Bill and I talked about Arizona last week, about how they were sneaky good. They've really given some challenges to teams they played. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here. Arizona hosting Oregon State as a 3.5-point dog. Who are you taking here?
I pumped up Arizona a couple weeks ago, and they have not let me down since. They've been on a roll. Arizona had lost to some really good teams this season, but they lost every game close, 2 games in overtime, 1 game to the the Washington Huskies up there, and Washington only lost by a touchdown. Arizona beats Oregon State. DJ
Uiagalelei. Yeah.
Thank you. I can't. It's off. He's got a great last name. I think he fails. They obviously cover this, and they win outright. They're going to beat Oregon State. I think Arizona's going to win this game.
I'm sure Austin's going to not appreciate that, because as a Clemson fan, DJU was his guy last year.
They could use him right now. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Austin, hey,
I thought DJ's whole problem was coaching the whole time. DJ would have been a great quarterback for us, I think, if he had the right guys in there coaching him at quarterback. I agree with you. Arizona, man, have they not been on a roll? And they are scoring some points. I like the over in this game if I'm going to pick anything, right? But yeah, I agree with you. I think Arizona's going to cover, or can cover that, and I'm going to go with Arizona.
Wow, okay.
I can't believe we're there's a consensus here. We're all taking Arizona to cover this game and potentially get the win outright.
That's almost a top 10 team we're taking.
I like them underdogs, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go over to the NFL ranks. We got a couple of decent games to talk about. Not really a decent game here, but the number one pick versus the number two pick go head-to-head this weekend as the Houston Texans travel to Charlotte, North Carolina as a three-point favorite to take on the Carolina Panthers. I'll start us off here. Because if Aaron was in the chat, he'd be making fun of me for not going first. Listen, I talked about this again on the Cat Cave this week. I think the Panthers have a real chance to get their first win this week. I think with a new play caller in Thomas Brown calling the plays on this offense, they looked really good for all of 10 minutes against the Miami Dolphins. I think you got Miles Sanders is now off the injury report. I think they're going to look to run this football down the throat of the Houston Texans. I know D'Amico Ryans is a defensive-minded football coach, but I'm taking Carolina to cover this three-point spread and to maybe win this game outright. Austin, let's go to you. Who do you got, Carolina hosting Houston?
Oh, man. I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing. I think just on quarterback play alone, I'm going to have to roll with C.J. Stroud. I think Texans are going to cover. Panthers are still trying to figure a lot of stuff out. 3 points, man. It's one of those ones you're like, ah, man, I wish this could just be a pick 'em. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Texans. Texans covered.
Bill, what say you?
I think you're feeling your Homer Oates, Ryan, with your Carolina pick. Come on, man. Probably. This is wrong again, Ryan. This is a terrible choice pick. What do you do? You man, have a fire hose that's going
to
put that
too
fire
nice
out
you.
Before
I need to
that
be
game?
Like he is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's showing off because you're here, Austin.
Dink 300 yards. Give me 400 yards. Maybe give me 400 yards and three touchdowns. C.J. Stroud is going to put on this team. They're terrible. Get your hose out, Ryan. The dumpster fire's on fire. Come on, let's go.
Bill is showing off.
We still haven't had a John Metchie sighting. Y'all know that, right? We still haven't had a John Metchie sighting. Sooner or later, he is going to explode. He's got to, right?
Bill is showing off. Aaron is in the chat, and he wants Austin to know. He does feel horrible. His daughter got him sick, He wants Austin to know that he needs to put that shirt on the wash machine from time to time.
It's mood lighting. It's mood lighting. It's a white shirt. It's not dingy. It's white. It's mood lighting.
I like
got mood lighting in here.
Yeah.
Let's move on here. The Battle of New York is the Jets go to they don't really go anywhere. The Jets play the Giants this week, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Jets, a 3-point favorite against the Giants. We talked about this. Tyrod Taylor's able to get his weapons involved. The Jets have a really good defense. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here. Jets at Giants. Jets a 3-point favorite. Who you got?
I think this week that Robert Saleh loses the horseshoe that he's been carrying around to give all these gifts to the Jets that have the worst quarterback that anybody could see, not named Daniel Jones. I think Tyrod Taylor rolls to the win here, baby. Let's go Giants. They cover at home, which is kind of funny because it's actually home for both teams. I talked to Tim Costello about this week. It's a home for both teams, but this week the Giants fans get to show up, so it's a home game for them. So I think the Giants win this game.
Austin, what say you? Jets at Giants?
Man, I'm going to have to disagree with you, man. I'm going to go with the Jets on this. I think
you can be wrong. It's cool.
I would say that maybe that Wilson's been playing a little better than everybody expected, right? He's got the weapons, dude. That team is loaded, right? Defense is solid. I love Tyrod. I want to see Tyrod succeed, but man, I could see this being such a low scoring game, like a 14-7 game, something like that, right? And I just think that the Jets are going to pull this one off.
Yeah, I think the Giants had a 14-7 game last week and they won it.
That sounds about right. Maybe bet on the under this week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 100%.
Pedro thinks the Jets cover that easily. Listen, I don't want to say that the Giants win this game, But I do think they cover. I think this is going to be, like Austin said, a low-scoring game. I'm talking like a 10-7, like a 13-10, 13-12 game type deal. But I've got the Giants covering this game. So give me the Giants here. Last up, this has sort of been a hard one to pick because the line has changed three times since yesterday. The Bengals at the 49ers started off as a pick 'em. Then it moved to the 49ers -5.5. And then when they announced Brock Purdy was in concussion protocol, the line dropped to 3.5. Austin, I'm going to let you start us off here. Sunday, 4:25 kickoff. The Bengals at the 49ers. The 49ers favored by 3.5 points. Who you got here?
Oh, buddy, the Brock Purdy, those 49ers, they're not going to beat Smoking Joe, man. Joe Burrow has got to get this team rolling, right? Like, they've got to get going in the right way. I think this is the game that they do it. I could see them winning by at least 7, right, a whole touchdown. They got way too much firepower, man, and they just hadn't clicked yet. Sooner or later, they're going to click. This is the perfect game for them to click and get that thing rolling and putting up, like, video game numbers that we saw last week, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Purdy or Sam Darnold, Sam Darnold's probably going to get the start in this game. If Darnold plays, I think it gives the Bengals a much better chance to win this game. Give me the Bengals to cover the spread. I think the Bengals probably get the win as well. Banker Bill, what say you?
More importantly, do we know the status of Debo?
As of right now, they have not ruled him out of playing, but it doesn't seem. Yeah, no, he's probably not going to play. I think he had a hairline fracture or something like that.
So he's probably out, huh?
Yeah, he's probably not going to play.
Well, do you remember
he probably would have fractured that bone if he played at Tennessee, right?
I swear this guy.
Do you remember what Sam Darnold said about why he signed with the 49ers?
Because his wide receivers could get open.
Yeah, the receivers are open. That was his quote. Stop it, Sam. I think the Bengals cover this as well. Sam Darnold is not a good quarterback.
Well, we are probably later than we've ever been on this show. Austin, this has been fun. I'm glad we've been trying to get you on for a few weeks now. I'm glad we finally got to get you on. Anybody you want to shout out before we say goodbye to you for the evening?
I guess first I want to thank God, right, for letting me do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you, man. No, I appreciate y'all having me on the show, man. If y'all aren't doing anything tomorrow and want to watch some fun high school football, go to our Facebook page. We'll be live streaming the game. It's last regular season of the game of the year. This is for the number one spot in the region. So it'll be a good game, man. Good game to watch.
Henry County High School in Tennessee. That Austin is the backs coach over there. Austin, once again, really appreciate you being involved and being on the show. Appreciate you watching the show when you do. And appreciate the babies coming in and being part of the show as well.
Say bye. See you.
All right. Austin, thanks, well man. Done. We'll see you soon, bud. Thanks, man.
See you, love.
Austin Thompson, everybody, the running back.
Bye. See you.
For the Henry County High School. We do have one question before we get out of here. We had somebody jump in at the last break here. Tim Weinreich wanted to know, Team One, Justin Jefferson and Kyle Pitts trades for Puka Nacua and Jonathan Taylor. I think it's clear cut. The rant that I went on about Kyle Pitts, if you're getting rid of Kyle Pitts, you're winning in my book.
It's Team One on that one. If the Team One gets that group of players, Puka Nacua, Jonathan Taylor, and Chris Olave, they won. Justin Jefferson is injured, and Kyle Pitts is 12th.
Tight end
points. He's not garbage. He's 12th. He's 12th. He's average.
Yeah.
That's a haul for Team Two.
They haven't had their bye week yet either, so we'll go from there.
Yeah.
We've gone late. I still want to get to Homer's Corner here. Homer's Corner is our favorite part of the show.
You can skip mine. I already talked about it.
Bill wanted to talk about Tyreek Hill's injury, and we don't know if he's going to play this week.
We are getting so many injuries. We had three offensive linemen out against the Eagles. We had both of our starting cornerbacks out against the Eagles. Jalen Waddle got hurt in the middle of the game. Obviously, Devin Achane is not playing now. He was electric. Obviously, he's still like fourth in the league in rushing after only playing four games. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just so many injuries for the Dolphins. I'm like, come on, man. Like, we know we have a roster right now. Just don't curse us with all these injuries, and it just keeps happening. Now they're saying Tyreek Hill is injured. He is questionable for Sunday. We'll find out if he practices tomorrow whether or not they think he's going to play in the game. And we're still not getting anybody back. However, Jalen Ramsey is practicing with the ones. There is a possibility that he would be active for this weekend. So we'll see. But holy crap, Tyreek. Ugh.
It's not bad enough that New England can't really get the ball out to the wide receivers. Now you add Jalen Ramsey into the mix.
Yeah.
it's going to get that much tougher. Listen, I don't have really anything to say about Gamecock football. We got blown out by Missouri last week. We're a 14-point dog on the road at Texas A&M this week. So I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to talk a little women's basketball. Asia Wilson is a WNBA player for the Las Vegas Aces, who just won their second consecutive WNBA championship. Asia Wilson has been in the league all of like 5 years, and she is already one of the all-time greats in the WNBA. She is a two-time WNBA champion. She was the finals in the WNBA, or a finals MVP in the 2023 WNBA Finals. She is a two-time WNBA MVP, a two-time WNBA Defensive Player of the Year. She won an ESPY in 2023 for the best WNBA player. All 5 years that she's been in the league, she was an all-star. All the accolades, not to mention the NCAA tournament, most outstanding player at the University of South Carolina, national champion at the University of South Carolina in 2017, a three-time consensus first-team All-American, three-time SEC Player of the Year, and she is a Columbia, South Carolina native. So if we're going Homer, we're going a South Carolina native, a Gamecock whose statue now stands outside of Colonial Life Arena. And in 5 years, I would argue that she's already almost Hall of Fame status in the WNBA.
She sounds like she's on her way to being like the best WNBA player ever.
Exactly my point, yeah, which is why
very I wanted much like that road,
which is why I wanted to homer out and give Asia Wilson her flowers. Not like anybody isn't, but I wanted to give Asia Wilson her flowers
because Gamecocks
Homer's Corner this week. Yeah, she's a Gamecock, Columbia native. Yeah. She is not the smoking be good cigar at chick. Right?
Yeah.
Pedro wants to know she was not the girl smoking the cigar. And he also said Jalen Ramsey, Ramsey baby, go Noles.
Need him back. Not
going
Noles though. I can't do that. No.
He also wanted to say that the Bengals win the 49ers cover that game, but
just listen, defense. Come on now. They're not going to win by defense every single week. Not going to happen.
This has been an extra long show. I can't believe extra we went over an hour and 20 minutes.
So many topics. That's so many topics.
We're just going to have to cut it down. We're going to have to talk like one topic out of college and one topic out of the NFL.
Filler? We'll have to do filler.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm always worried that I don't have enough planned.
Well, you have plenty planned every week, Ryan.
We're going to – listen, for you, for the audience who wants to stay for the hour, I try to make this show an hour, especially because it's hard enough to keep people's attention for 5 minutes, much less an hour. I will cut back and get to what you, the audience, wants to hear us talk about. Come find us on social media, facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it, at tapouts and TDs. Come find us and let us know what it is that you want us to talk about on our football shows going forward. Bill, before we sign off, anybody you want to give a shout out to, anything you got going on that you want to let the audience hear about?
Nothing. We're good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to everybody who was in the chat, from Pedro to Jimmy Kaiser to Tim Costello. Thanks to Austin Thompson for coming in and making picks with us this week. Thanks for all the interaction that we get week in and week out. We could not do this show without all of you. Stay tuned. We're not going to have a wrestling show this week, because this Monday Night Raw is coming to Greenville, South Carolina, and I will be there the night before Halloween. But you can catch the cat cave.
Wait, time out. How much money were the tickets for Monday Night Raw?
We'll talk about that off the air. It wasn't as much as you'd expect it to be, but I'll be going to Monday Night Raw.
It was not $20?
It was not $20. It was more than $20. So you would have gone. You can always catch my other podcast about the Carolina Panthers, The Cat Cave, on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel or the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, wherever you find your podcast powered by the Fans First Sports Network. We've got another show dropping this week with Shannon Smith and I talking about the opportunity for everybody in the NFC South to continue to make strides and potentially win that division. And we're going to have another live football show here with Banker Bill next week. Thanks once again for everybody who was involved in the show tonight. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye. We'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.